Kristen, I don't know who's ahead in the Olympics.
I'm surprised.
I don't know.
You know so much about sports.
All I'm saying to you is I don't know who's ahead. I don't know if Great Britain's ahead. I don't know if, you know, the election's happening. I don't know if Romney is beating Obama. But here's the upset that I care about. Citizen Kane just got knocked off the list of the greatest movies of all time by Hitchcock's Vertigo.
It was number one for 50 years.
50 years. After 50 years, Sight and Sound magazine, the famous British magazine, now published by the British Film Institute. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So
BFI, yep.
The BFI. Not suddenly. Vertigo's been catching up over the years, but this is the first year where Vertigo knocked Citizen Kane, the grand old Citizen Kane, off the list. And you, I think, disagree.
I think that they, you know what? They could have done better. We're going to talk more about what they could have done.
We'll also
talk about new movie releases. But first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. And this is Movie Date.
All right. We have some smacking down to do over the best film of all time, according to Sight and Sound. But first, I recall that we wanted to talk about something else. Do you recall what that was?
What was that thing? I totally recall that.
Totally?
We were going to talk about... just go there. Oh, come on. That was a gimme.
Okay.
You pitched that one to me. Yeah, we should talk about Total Recall.
I went to Recall after work.
What? What did they do to you?
Nothing. Nothing. I sat in the chair. They hooked me up. Before they could do anything, the police burst in. They tried to take me.
Come here.
You have not seen the new Total Recall with Colin Farrell, a remake of the Arnold Schwarzenegger 1990 classic, I would say.
No, I didn't see the original.
And you haven't even seen the original.
No, and I haven't seen the new one. I do want to point out, though, while I have not seen the original Schwarzenegger Total Recall, I have seen Junior, where he's a pregnant man.
Oh, you've got that one. You're one up on me,
so
Kristen,
good.
On that one.
Oh, so good.
Wow. All right. So let me ask you a question. Do you care? Do you have any interest in Total Recall at all?
Not in the slightest.
No, I don't really think anyone does.
No, I just don't care.
Very low buzz on this movie. So for those of you who don't know, Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film and this film, both based on a Philip K. Dick short story. Philip K. Dick was always a great one for memory and identity, and this is a movie about a guy. He's a assembly line worker in this new one who has a lot of nightmares, and so this is set in the future, I should say, the usual dystopian future. So he goes to a place called Recall, where he's going to have some more pleasant memory implants put in his head, so he'll have some better memories to think about besides these terrible nightmares. And this process triggers some reflexes, deadly reflexes in him that he didn't know he had. He kills a room full of men, he's holding a gun, and he realizes that perhaps there's something more to him than he knew. And suddenly everyone's turned against him. His wife is trying to kill him. There's a group of militia men who are trying to kill him. There's an insurgency that seems to recognize him. So clearly he's had a past life. How is he going to piece all this together?
I love the premise, actually.
No, it's a great premise.
Seems fantastic.
Again, Philip K. Dick is unbeatable. So here's what I'm going to say briefly, since you have not seen it. Briefly, Kristen, the original Schwarzenegger movie, rated R, the way the great old action films used to be rated R.
Let's just kill everybody.
Let's kill everyone. And
let's do it as violently as possible.
Paul Verhoeven directing, Paul Verhoeven of RoboCop and Basic Instinct. Paul Verhoeven, never a man to let an R rating go to waste. There are some great moments in that original film. My favorites are a giant tracking device that's implanted in Arnold Schwarzenegger's brain that he has to pull out through his nostril.
Oh, my God.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, my God.
There's a great mall shootout where Arnold Schwarzenegger uses an innocent shopper's dead body as a bulletproof vest. That's a wonderful – but I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's a great movie. There's just nothing like that in this new one. First of all, Colin Farrell – He's totally shrimpy. He's a little squirrely and kind of interesting, but he's not Arnold. And the movie I just found toothless, safe. It's PG-13 because everything these days is freaking PG-13. And I feel like the movie pays a price for dumbing it down. It's toothless and bland, and it's no fun.
Wow, you've really sold me on this.
I'm sorry, I should be selling you on is the original Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I'm going to see the original after this, actually.
And Arnold's coming back. He's back on the cover of magazines. He's got his acting career is coming back, supposedly. He's in Expendables 2. We could be seeing more of the guy.
What else is he supposed to do? That governor thing.
Well, he's got a kid to take care of.
Oh,
oh, what? That was uncalled for.
Rafer. All right, so there's another movie that we should talk about this week.
Can I just mention, by the way, that I was stunned that you even wanted to talk about this movie?
I think it's a very important movie. It's very important.
The name of this movie, Kristen?
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Dog Days.
So, what are you up to?
I'm helping the tennis coach. I give lessons to little kids.
That's so weird. We're all about tennis.
Cool. We should play sometime.
We'd love to play.
What about tomorrow at 11?
11's perfect. I think we should tell her that we've never played tennis. We played ultimate tennis on the Wii. It's basically the same thing.
It never occurred to me that you and I would be talking about this, but lay it on me. Why do you want to talk about this franchise of movies that's based on the Jeff Kinney sort of cartoon / novels that he does about a kind of middle schooler, grade schooler kid having a hard time in life?
Because it so royally screws it all up.
Really? Are you a fan of the books?
I think that what it's screwing up is this whole genre for kids. Kids want to have a character who's likable and who they identify with.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a mess up. You can be a screw up. You can have a lot of problems. But you should be, if nothing else, likable. And he is so not likable.
The whole time
I was watching the movie, all I could think was, you are the least likable children's character I think I've seen in ages that I am supposed to be identifying with. You're our protagonist, but all you do is lie, then you cover up the lies, and then you mess up things, and then you mess them up further by lying about them. And I'm going to say something totally not cool, okay? He's just a kid. It's not nice for me to say. He's not even very adorable.
Interesting.
You should have an adorable kid, even if he's like adorably chubby or adorably awkward. Like his best friend in the movie is much more adorable than him. He's got this chubby best friend.
Rowley.
Yeah, Rowley's adorable.
Yeah, Robert Capron is the kid who
plays
Rowley. He's a chubby kind of like ball of goo. He's just all
amiable,
like,
and lovable,
heart and sweetness, and you know he gets an ice cream and you take a big lick of it and then he wants you to share it with him.
Yeah, he's so great.
Rowley. Okay. So the main character, Greg Heffley, is supposed to be sort of your everyday kid this movie takes place during the summer between his 7th and 8th grade year. So he's getting up there. He's no longer just a kid. But these movies are basically, well, here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to say about these movies. This is interesting because, number one, the Diary of a Wimpy Kid movies are the only current film franchise about a normal kid in a normal town having a normal life.
Who's not a wizard?
No wizards, no vampires, nothing like that. They're the only movies that are addressing real life for kids. In that sense, they sometimes seem a little bit like an ABC sitcom from the 80s or something.
Oh, that was another thing I was going to say. I felt like I was watching 8 episodes of a TV show that were all spliced together.
The Wonder Years or something.
And not a good TV show. No, Wonder Years is a good show.
I'm just saying, but it has that vibe, right? Okay. Yeah. But here's the other thing that I love about these movies.
Love?
Yeah, I do. I really liked the first two a lot. This one is the weakest of the two. It's very jumbled. There are a lot of plots sort of coming in and out that don't make a lot of sense. Greg Heffley, the kid, is trying to get closer to Holly Hills, who's the pretty girl at school that he likes, and she's part of a country club, so he sneaks into her country club. He's also trying to please his dad, so he tells his dad that he's got a job at the country club when he actually doesn't. It's a little overstuffed, this movie. But what I like about these movies is that Greg is a deeply flawed but sympathetic character. He's making mistakes, and I feel like he's making the kinds of mistakes that kids make. He's disowning his friends, and then he's regretting it. He's trying to be cool, and it doesn't work out, and he realizes that, you know, that's not the way to be. He's lying to his parents and then realizing what that does. You know, he hates his brother, but then he comes to realize that he also, you know, loves his brother. He keeps making the kinds of mistakes that I feel you never see Harry Potter make, because Harry Potter is just so freaking noble. You never see, you know what I mean?
That Harry Potter.
And you never see Bella Swan or whoever making these kinds of mistakes. But these are the kind of things that kids do in their real lives. They do bad things to each other. They behave incorrectly. That's what growing up is. That's how you learn to be a decent person. And I always feel like in these movies there is this sense that Greg will ultimately be okay.
But he's so unlikable.
That is interesting.
I think you can make mistakes and still be likable.
All right.
There's this show called Malcolm in the Middle that I think did that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah.
All right.
All right. But should we move on to our big smackdown?
Let's talk about Hitchcock versus Welles.
Now tell me, honestly, my boy, don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
You are a Welles supporter. You feel that Citizen Kane should have stayed at number one.
I really love Citizen Kane. I think Citizen Kane is fantastic. I don't think it needed to be at number one for 50 years. But I want to make this clear. I think Hitchcock is great also.
Yep.
I just don't think that Vertigo should have displaced Citizen Kane.
I love you, Madeline.
I love you too. Too late.
No, we're together.
Well, it's too late. Something I must do.
No, there's nothing you must do. There's nothing you must do. No one possesses you. You're safe with me.
I want to point out something here.
Yes.
The BFI, Sight and Sound magazine, the top 10 list they put together, three of the movies are from the 1920s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. Some silence, yeah.
Most of them are 45 to 85 years old. The average time span is, I think, 75 years old from now. This is ridiculous. A lot of great movies have been made in the last half a century. And also, a lot of movies have been made that aren't obscure, that aren't dramas. There are a lot of movies out there that are crowd pleasers, that are comedies. And it's almost like these stuffy shirts just can't even consider anything else other than, I need a movie that was made in the same year that my grandparents were born.
I'll say one thing. Hitchcock, to me, is one of it, while his films would not be sort of up in my top five necessarily, his movies to me are just unarguably some of the greatest movies as an art form, movies as a they do what movies are supposed to do. They get into your head. When you see a Hitchcock movie, seems to be taking place kind of in your mind. They have kind of a dream logic or a nightmare logic to them that unfolds the way your thoughts and memories and dreams unfold. And that, I think, is what movies do at their best. And I think Hitchcock is kind of the best at that.
He does a great job at that. I'll give that to you. But the whole time, it just looks like you're on a soundstage, or you're watching a filmed play, or there's an ABC made-for-television movie in the 1960s, and you're sitting there in the audience. He doesn't take advantage, technologically speaking, he never really takes advantage of the film medium fully.
I think that's pretty much demonstrably incorrect. I mean, if what you're looking for is a kind of realism, which I think is what a lot of people are looking for in movies, I think that's a dead end. Because you're just going to start looking. What you want is realism, and the movies are always going to let you down on that front because they are not real. And I think Hitchcock knew that. And when Hitchcock would do things like, okay, let's take an example from Vertigo. You know the you may not remember this, but the scene toward the end, it's a viewpoint of the stairwell that Jimmy Stewart has climbed up to the top. He's suffering from vertigo, and there's that distorted, flattened out, squashed, a sort of accordion effect of the stairwell kind of coming at you and receding, that gives you this wonderful dizzying sensation. So Hitchcock did that in this complicated but also very simple way. He built a little miniature of that staircase, set it on its side, Then he took a camera, pointed it into that stairwell, moved the camera back, and zoomed forward at the same time. And the result of that is you squash the perspective, you flatten the perspective out. That is not technological innovation, but it's a genius imaginative solution to get an effect, to get an emotional, visceral effect. And that's the kind of stuff that Hitchcock is good at. That's what the movies are supposed to be about. Not acting, not realism, not postcard scenery. Well, they're supposed to be about an emotional, visual effect.
They're not supposed to be about acting.
Absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely not.
Oh my God, I feel like this is a whole other SmackDown. We have to have another day.
We'll have to do that.
Yeah. But before we go,
I just
want to throw out our trivia question because it's related to all this.
Yes. All right, trivia.
All right. So, this movie, Vertigo, lead character played by Jimmy Stewart, afraid of heights. And Alfred Hitchcock also had a big fear. He had a phobia. What was his phobia?
I love this question because I did not know it.
But if you know the answer, some of our listeners might know the answer. Call us at 5717movies or log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast. And you know what? We had a correct answer to last week's trivia question.
All right.
Last week's trivia question, just a reminder, which Oscar-winning movie star was on the short list for Team USA to compete in the Olympics in 2000. That was the Sydney Games in 2000. Which Oscar winner? And Rick, Oregon, let's play your tape.
This is Rick from Portland, Oregon. And I believe the answer to this week's trivia about the Oscar-winning actor on the short list for the Olympics is Gina Davis in archery.
Rick, you even got
way
the category
go.
That she was in, archery. That's
way to
right.
go, Rick from Oregon.
Remember, we have a trivia question again this week. So give us a call if you know what Alfred Hitchcock was terrified of.